Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and beloved, God is in the miracle working business. The greatest miracle of all is that He can save someone who is honest and sincere and comes to Him and make them a new creature, and He's able to transform our minds that we're not thinking as the world does. He is a miracle working God, and the amazing thing is that He's transforming us from unsaved, unhappy, unproductive human beings to the glorious privilege, the majestic elevated station in eternity, if you will, of being the sons and daughters of God. That's quite an undertaking, and only God could succeed at such an enterprise, but He is going to succeed. I have total confidence that what the Holy Spirit began in through Jesus, His earthly ministry, and what Jesus prayed, as expressed so beautifully in the chapters of John, especially the 17th chapter, He's going to get the answer to His prayers. So He who began a good work in us, beloved, just take a deep breath. I don't care what you're wrestling with today, He is faithful to complete it. It doesn't depend on your faithfulness. It doesn't depend on any amount of striving that you can put to the task. You just have to be yielded and surrendered and willing. It's God working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. What a marvelous promise that is. Well, I've been sharing on understanding spiritual warfare, and thus far we've looked at two main areas in which the enemy attacks believers, not only new believers, but sometimes those of us who've walked with the Lord for many years. And that is, one of his primary areas of attack is to make us doubt or question where we're at in the Lord, to question our relationship with God, that somehow things may have gone well for a while, and all of a sudden we begin to question, where are we? Where is God? And we feel that we're not where we should be, that we even question, are we saved? That's happened to some of the most dedicated Christians. I've had that feeling at times in my life. It's like, my goodness, am I really saved? And now that might sound fantastic, but beloved, when you're in spiritual warfare, it's not funny. You actually believe and feel that way because we deal with a formidable adversary. Second way he moves, and I won't go into repetition, but he challenges and attacks the Word of God as he did in the beginning with Adam and Eve. Now, the third major area I'd like to share with you, and how can I summarize it? He attacks what in God's providence would be the seasons and timing of the Lord. And He uses our immaturity, He uses our carnality to get us to act in a way that is contrary to the Word of God. That's why James says, let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And God allows the trials and the testings that we go through. In fact, if God simply saved us and then prevented us from experiencing any kind of warfare, we would be spiritually just like a newborn baby. A newborn baby can't do anything for itself. Isn't that right? The baby has to be cared for, nurtured, has to be fed. It can't do anything for itself. And beloved, only as that child is allowed to go through the natural growth process are they able to become a self-sufficient, productive human being. It's same in the realm of the spirit. If God did not allow the enemy to come against us, to test us, you know, like that song said, if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them. through it all. Amen. Through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Beloved, our inheritance is pure and undefiled. When we have repented of our sins and we've confessed Jesus as Savior and Lord, then, beloved, we are no longer sinners because we pass from death unto life. That's the new birth. And we become members of the body of Christ in this earth. And, beloved, that's the greatest miracle of all. This is the miraculous power of God in action in our lives. You know, when you think of it, in the natural realm, it's really nothing for God to part the waters of the Red Sea, but to transform a human heart. Because why? You know, the waters, the mountains bow down, the hills melt before him, the trees of the field can clap their hands. There's no hindrance, there's no rebellion in the physical, natural world. But when God can get a man or woman to be willing to submit their will to the Creator God, which is only the wise and reasonable thing to do, that is the greatest miracle of all time, beloved. Let me tell you, God rejoices, all of heaven rejoices, when a man or a woman finally says, throws up their hands and says, okay, I've done it my way, I've tried, and now, God, I'm willing to try it your way. My goodness, no wonder there's rejoicing. And so, beloved, that is God's miracle working power. Jesus paid it all, and that includes every sin, past, present, and future. That doesn't include us a license. Well, you know, Jesus's blood has covered all of my sins. So, you know, if I transgress a little, it's not going to hurt. Beloved, we better not trample on the grace of God. You're in very dangerous territory if you ever think you can do that. If you ever can trifle with what Jesus did, you crucify the Son of God afresh. Beloved, there's some powerful scriptures that warn against us taking lightly the very grace of God. But all of our sins are covered, and that includes our physical sicknesses, our emotional sicknesses. Sometimes we can be sick of heart. This includes our failures. Beloved, this includes all our weaknesses. This includes every single thing that we were, in the past, that we turned from, that we used to be a servant to. Beloved, your sins are forgiven. And our sins, the amazing thing is, I don't know how he does this, but they're remembered against us no more. In other words, he does not hold our past against us. You know, as human beings, you know, we can say, well, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. Well, the fact of the matter is, we have to be like God in that no matter what harm, no matter what injustice was done to us, we cannot hold it against that person. We have to forgive from our heart. And when we can't, we ask God to undertake for us. He will give us that grace where we truly can. The enemy, beloved, will come in like a flood against many sincere, many well-meaning Christians. And they will have a driving compulsion to be instantaneous world saviors. That's especially true of the youth. They're saved and they're going to win the world for Jesus. There's a marvelous zeal to the youth. Amen. And I'm not putting that down. What do I mean by this? Well, they feel such a compulsion to take the world for God without any preparation whatever. And while that's very commendable, that zeal, they feel like they alone are the saviors of the world. And this feeling is magnified by the enemy because he doesn't want them to become grounded, knowledgeable, powerful Christians. And that's why Paul was very clear in the Word of God. He said, don't bring inexperienced or very young Christians into a position of leadership or authority. And so, what do we see? Satan employs his stratagem of imparting fearful thoughts that the Christian will lose out with God if he doesn't immediately start trying to change the world. It isn't a matter of witnessing, nor is it a genuine desire to reach the lost for Christ. But Satan knows how to play on the ego of the individual so subtly that the person is unaware that they've actually got spiritual pride and ego in operation, that they want to be seen of men. That individual, not trust, well, maybe that's occurred in your own life, or you've seen it on operation in others, they get so caught up in this compulsive action that they won't heed sound doctrine. They won't listen to the pastor. God is always talking to them in a special relationship. They have a direct pipeline to God, and they're always right. Listen, when I grew up, my early Christian experience, I was around Christians like that. And I thought, God, what's wrong with me? I don't hear you telling me to do stuff like that. You know, it doesn't make any difference that they failed countless times. And it doesn't seem to register that they said God told them to do thus and so, but it never worked out or it didn't come to pass. But they continue to pledge and just willy-nilly forge on ahead in one thing after another. They're flighty. They're incoherent, spiritually speaking. They're overly anxious. They're nervous wrecks. They're stressful. And they produce that response in everything they do or those around them. They're unstable. Just cross them, and you've got a battle on your hands. But in their friends' activity, and for all their zeal, it doesn't bring deliverance to anyone else, and certainly not to themselves. They're unfulfilled, unstable, disliked, and generally mistrusted. And beloved, you know, it's not because they're not sincere. It's not because they're not trying. They mean well, but they've been tricked by Satan into thinking that God demands action without preparation. God never called anyone in the Bible, but what he had prepared them for their calling and commission. The disciples weren't sent out until they had been schooled at the feet of Jesus. Beloved, we have to understand that God has a plan. Just like in the natural world, when a seed is planted, there's a time for that seed to mature, to grow, and to develop. It's true in our spiritual life. It's true in the natural life of a child, and we can't forego or do away with that process. We must be submitted to godly authority over us. And that's why it's a protection. That's why those who have a true heart, I'm talking about true shepherds, those who are godly, they will minister and nurture you in the admonition of the Lord in a godly, God-loving and God-fearing way. Well, beloved, my time has just flown and there's so much to share. So I invite you to tune in tomorrow as we continue on in this series on understanding spiritual warfare. Thank you for joining me. And I want to thank you for your prayer support. If it wasn't for the prayers of the saints, beloved, I don't believe this ministry would have continued for over 50 years. But the glory goes to God and much thanksgiving to God's faithful servants. I love you. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. Or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.